Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Raised by Wolves, Season 1, Episode 4, Nature's Course is over and has been for a while, but we're just getting started talking about it here on the Week Daily Raised by Wolves podcast on post-show recaps. Hello, everybody. I am Josh Wigler, joined here by my co-host who's just been killing it here on the Raised by Wolves podcast. No, seriously, Grace, take the spear. I want you to kill it.
I don't know if I can.
Grace Leader, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm great. Back for another episode of Raised by Wolves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, feels like yesterday we just did
one. It just feels like just yesterday that we were doing this. Hey, happy season 2 premiere day.
Yay.
To all who are celebrating, as this podcast is coming out on the same day as the Raised by Wolves season 2 premiere, which Grace and I are not yet able to watch, but will watch. It's why we're doing all of
Who's
this.
Who's Will Watch?
Who is Will Watch is our guest on the season 3, episode 7, as an Akiva Winokur alias.
Yeah.
When we get to it in 4 years or however long it takes in between Raised by Wolves season. But no, we are going through all of season 1, one episode at a time, one weekday at a time, so that we are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, much like the creature in the Carbo silo. When we get to the end of season 1, and then we're going to start up season 2. So we'll be at the season 2 party a little bit late, but we will be talking about Raised by Wolves all February long. Really, really excited about this. We hope you're having fun. The RSS link should be up for you by now if you have not checked it out already. PostShowRecaps.com/wolves to make sure you never miss an episode of the Raised by Wolves podcast here on Post Show Recaps, or PostShowRecaps.com/HBO pod. To make sure you're subscribed to our HBO show recaps podcast feed so you never miss an HBO show. Grace, we are talking about episode 4 of Raised by Wolves. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like we're on fire covering this show right now.
Yeah, definitely on fire. Yeah.
Like we've touched some sort of strange alien artifact and it has literally set us ablaze.
Yeah. Not good. Weird artifacts in the middle of the desert.
Yeah. Why are we podcasting from the middle of the desert, by the way?
I don't know. You wanted to really like live in the moment.
Immersive podcasting.
Crash. Yeah. I don't know. You intentionally crashed our ship. That felt that felt like wrong.
Brash. Like a very poorly thought out decision. Yeah. No, I'm I've heard of
method actors, but method
podcasting. Method podcasting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my jam. We're 4 days into this as we are recording this one. The first episode is out. Lots of people really excited about Raised by Wolves. This is very exciting for us. We have the podcast has only been out for about 12 hours and 8 minutes to be exact, Grace, the series premiere podcast, which means no one yet has written in to say, you idiots, Kepler-22b is a real planet.
Yeah, this is my biggest regret for the first episode, being like, you think they're real humans? And the next episode, to the boss, we're in Boston. Yeah, big
miss. Like, oh, well, what about Kepler-22a, b, c? Yeah. Let's make jokes about it's real. Kepler-22b is a real thing. 600 light years away.
Yep.
I don't know if there certainly was lots of excitement about its possible habitability. Can't say that word. Mm-hmm. That's just not going to come out right. And no one's come in on that one yet. But just that's a real place. This whole show is
this is our timeline, you big dummy.
Yeah. Messed this one up.
Well. I'm rewatching it. I watched it a long time ago, the first time.
I know. We hope you're having fun, because we're absolutely having a blast. And I think we're digging into theme and character, and that's the sweet sauce here on
this
post-show recap.
This is the way of the world now. When a show drops in a binge, and this one didn't really drop in a binge, but I watched this show in a binge, and then the new show comes out, and you're like, I do not remember that
any
all.
Of that. Yeah.
Like Ozark just dropped, and like I was listening to your preview podcast, and I was like, I don't remember a lot of these
Frank
names.
Frank Jr.
That's the way of the world these days.
Yeah.
Binge model.
Frank Jr. on Raised by Wolves. That's not happening. All right, there's a lot.
I don't
to
remember
talk
what
about. It's possible. Frank Jr. might be showing up. Episode 7. Keep an eye out. Oh, I shouldn't be saying keep an eye out. mercifully, no eyes were moved in this episode.
Keep an eye out. That's what mother has to do all the time.
All the time.
To keep her eyes out.
She does have to mention it a few times. Kids, keep your eyes closed. I'm weaponized.
Yeah, it's like, you know, at a restaurant, sometimes you see people like walking through and just being like, you know, coming through. And she's
like behind. Keep your eyes closed. I'm weaponized is definitely a sentence that I want to bring into my everyday life. All right. So let's weaponize the podcast, Grace. Let's talk it through. Episode 4, Nature's Course. Some developments that are very, very big to discuss in this one. But our shortest cold open yet, you know?
Yeah.
Our cold open is basically Paul being on the tree. You're like, I got to get off the tree. How to get on the tree? You know, lots of questions that Paul's got, and mother just, you know, parading around the forest. But Paul just scream pretty loudly, Paul, so I may hear you, Paul.
Yeah, very quick. Like, yeah, he falls into this tree. Not much danger. He's, you know, because he's not in danger for very long before mother shows up. Yeah,
yeah. But Paul then begins free falling, as he falls off the tree, and it's just like. Plummeting to the infinite void, Grace. Yep. It seems like
the middle of Kepler 22b.
You know, Raised by Wolves giving me serious Looney Tunes vibes in this moment. That Paul falls off this tree; it just seems to be falling forever.
Yeah.
And was it Porky Pig who was trying to say the word habitable on this podcast?
habitable.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody Porky drew Wig. That circle with like a magic pen, and then that's how that circle got created. It's just as a magic hole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. I do remember distinctly the anvil that drops on father in the middle of episode 8 coming up.
We should know when the spaceship crashed and it pans out and it's just a big acme on the side of the spaceship. Mm-hmm. We should have saw that for sure.
Is our timeline, you dummy. Yeah, for sure. Mother does find Paul and flies and saves Paul and also knocks him out immediately with yet another new power.
New power.
How many powers?
It's time to sleep now, Paul.
Time to sleep now, Paul. My gosh, that is an ability.
I'm a very deep sleeper. I'm an easy sleeper. I go to sleep quite easily.
I'm kind of bitterly jealous hearing this.
I know. People get so mad when I tell them my superpower. My whole family has it. My brother and my father, we all fall asleep incredibly easily. So I don't need a mother in my life. Out of context, that sounds bad. Just this mother.
Mom, I love you.
I love you, Mom. This mother, I don't need her because I don't need the. It's time to sleep now, Grace.
Yeah. Oh, I would love. Like, yeah. I would love for this to exist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's time to sleep now, Josh, and I would just be out. My God. But I have been sleeping relatively well recently, as I tweeted not terribly long ago. My new secret has been watching an episode of the original Iron Chef on Peacock every night before I go to bed, and it soothes me to sleep.
That's great.
Very nostalgic. Okay, so Paul is saved. It's great. I guess the other big takeaway here is that while Mother was searching for Paul, she found a pod, right?
Yeah.
A stasis pod from the Ark, it seems like. I couldn't tell if that was an android in there or a human being.
I don't know. I guess I don't know.
I think it looked like a human being, and they did have like a lot of like skull face. But then I also remember Anthony. Wasn't it Anthony was the name of the android? Albert, the android.
There's also other
similar look.
There's other android, you know, the two
the sisters.
Women, the sisters, right? So it's not like they don't bring androids. It maybe makes sense that they are in this type of stasis pod rather than you know, just being on the ship, you know.
But when she does later on decide to plug into the sim, to start playing The Sims and start stomping around in there, the video game reports back, you're not supposed to be in here. Don't do this.
Hey, that's true. So I guess it's probably
you.
A human. Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't
for androids. No androids. No droids allowed. That's what they said to the dogs in the heaven of Raised by Wolves. Because we come to find out, Grace. Animals, when they die, no rainbow bridge.
That's it.
I hate that.
I don't like it either.
I hate that.
Specifically, there is a story. There's a movie called All Dogs Go to Heaven. Apparently, they were like, nope, that show is canceled.
I hate that movie.
Yeah.
The Mizrake typically don't like stories anyway, Grace, but they hated All Dogs Go to Heaven.
It's too bad.
Yeah. Speaking of the Mithraic, they are in the desert when they come across this gigantic, I guess it's technically not an obelisk because it's not just a giant pillar. It is a five-sided, fully symmetrical artifact. This gigantic thing, this, you know, sort of five-sided die, Grace. Does such
what
a thing
number
exist?
Did it land on?
I don't know. They'll have to like put all their full weight in to flip it over.
No, I love the weird, strange object in the middle of the planet that nobody thought anybody else had been to yet. I love that. That's so fun. That's great. This thing is massive. Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. What's inside it? Something warm, something hot, obviously, something potentially hot enough to set someone on fire fully. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it is very, very surreal and scary in many ways, but a lot of the Mithraic here seem to be enamored of it. It's prophetic, right? It's like it's got five points, like in the prophecy. You'll know them by their shape and their number. The temples in the Holy Land that Saul hid all the mysteries in. It's like Christmas morning here for the Mithraic. For a moment, it's like they forgot that they're all out of food and milk.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe there's milk inside.
Warm milk, hot, warm milk inside the obelisk.
Tasty.
They get. I mean, it's a sign. It's just you know, see it. It's great.
His Eminence, who we come to know as Ambrose in this episode, just in time for him to, who is just in time for him to get set on fire, is going to be all about this this artifact until he starts getting he sets his attention on some other things that are going on. He starts barking up the wrong tree, the tree that fell over into the hole that Paul was clinging on to earlier. Okay, so back at Camp Wolf, Mother has returned. She brings Paul in. Keep your eyes closed, children. I'm weaponized, children. I'm weaponized.
Yeah, the casual nature that she has demonic eyes that will tear you to shreds.
To their credit, all of the kids know exactly what that means. They're like, yep, eyes closed.
Yep, eyes averted. Yep.
Even when Campion's trying to talk to her, he's not looking at her.
Nope.
Mom, just want you to know father was clutch. Yeah. We were lost. And we were idiots, big dummies who ran away and father found us.
Yep.
She's like, I don't want to talk to you, Campion.
I found Paul, by the way.
Yeah, I found Paul. Good job, kids. Although sadly, Mouse is MIA. We have no idea where Mouse is right now.
No.
Mother comes to find the screeching creature in the carbo silo. Father says, "Don't worry, it's mildly aggressive."
Yeah, it is much creepier, I thought, in this episode than it even was in last episode. It's weird, like in the dark, I think, in the dark silo, just the image of it is much more frightening than it was on top of the spaceship or the lander.
I think the creature is very scared, Grace, as we come to find out, maybe has some reason to be. It's a very disturbing, troubling ending for the creature.
Yeah, this is sad. It's the sad for this little guy. This little
and I also feel really bad for Tempest specifically, who has just been through enough already.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty bad. Pretty bad. Wake up, find your. Pulled the baby out of the
of it's very bad
evil creature
that nobody's wasn't gonna be good for great. Anyone
nobody's
for
doing
Tempest.
Great on Kepler 22b
no which is a real place that exists father and mother some like a little light squabbling of she's sorry for her critical words. I was in error when I said your kindness was making us less safe, and he says, but you were not in error, and you think I'm endangering the children, and I fear that I'm losing your respect as well as my own. And she goes, oh, father.
Mother.
Walks away. Father needs to feel useful. You know, he used to have like a really good, modestly paying job with benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And now mother she's the president of the company. Mm-hmm. And she's the one bringing in the benefits. And father is stay-at-home dad. He doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, he's not the breadwinner, the carbo winner.
Yeah. Now all he gets to do is just go hunting for pizza nuts, and that's it.
And also the carbos that he brought home were also radioactive.
Poison.
So it's pretty rough developments for father.
Paul is telling the rest of the kids what happened. Yeah, I fell down this hole. There's a tree, and I was just looking for my mouse, but then she came. She saved me.
My mouse.
I was so scared. I was looking for my mouse. And everyone's like, all right, well, when do we want to try and run away again? It's like, not ever. We made a mistake.
Yeah, that was bad. It was very cold. We fell down a hole.
Campion calls Hunter a coward. He says, we were all cowards, except for Vita. She was great. And
Vita
goes,
rock.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
Someone's recognizing. And this is where Campion says, and where's Mouse, by the way? Is Mouse with Saul? And they say, no.
Nope.
Animals don't go anywhere. They just die.
Brutal.
Hate that.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's not true either.
No, obviously not. This show takes place in our world, right? And we empirically know that the animals go to the Rainbow Bridge.
That's right.
Forget this. I'm out on Saul. What did I do? They're not listening to me correctly. Animals come to me. I love animals. I'm hanging out with Mouse right now. Campion is with Father as Father is fashioning a spear with which to kill the creature. And Campion does not like this at all.
No.
Yeah.
There's got to be other things we can eat other than this creature. Why does he get such an attachment to the creature?
Well, I mean, I think Campion is a lifelong vegan, no? He's just been eating the carbos his whole life. He has no real concept of, or experience at least, maybe concept, but no experience of eating, flesh and blood creatures.
True.
And so he doesn't like this. Just don't kill it. Death is forever when you're an animal. I don't want that thing to die forever.
You just learned.
I just learned something really messed up, Father. Father, I think, says, I don't know if it's now or later, he looks at Cam, he's like, I gotta tell you, death is forever for everybody. Like, you know, you're not going anywhere, kid.
Yeah.
But he wants Father's help to go find food. He's like, but that's a waste of time and calories. We've been here for 12 years, Campion. It's just the carbos. And Cammy says, yeah, but I bet you haven't seen the nuts at the top of this tree I'm going to take you to.
Good shot, Campion.
Yeah.
You've got a good arm.
Real David versus
why didn't
Goliath.
Why didn't they bring Vita?
Yeah, Vita and Vita P.
She would have knocked down all of the nuts off those trees.
Yeah. Step aside, dummies. Watch me work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vito would have been good.
So they're going to head off. Yeah, they're going
to head off. They're going to go hunting. And Father says, listen, if it's going to help you get good with killing the creature and eating it, then sure. Let's go looking for food. Tempest is with Mother. And Mother still has all the necklaces that the Mithraic children had, and she's melting them down. She says, I like to recycle whenever possible. It's nice that recycling is still a thing in the future.
Yeah, this reduce, good. Reuse, recycle. What Absolutely. Are you making, though, Mom?
Hey, so what's that?
What are you making?
Oh, yeah, it's a scalpel. Oh!
Oh,
Yeah. Mother, who is, again, new power, right? We haven't seen her use hot breath. This is warm breath, so it's a fourth breath, I think, at this point. She got banshee breath, frost breath, poison breath, fire breath.
Yep.
And if things are trending in the direction of this show comes in fives with the pentagram of it all, maybe there's a fifth breath. But I am not going to feel comfortable stopping at five breaths for Mother. She just learned she could put people asleep with the touch of a finger and could also apparently just heal flesh with the touch of a finger.
Yeah, she is maybe perhaps one of the most powerful beings I've ever seen, ever.
In any medium.
Any medium. Yeah.
In any story, any medium, anywhere, anytime, Mother. I would take Mother over Superman, over a lot of people, I think.
Like the D&D stat block is enormous.
It's terrifying.
It's like pages and pages long.
Yeah. Yeah. Try pairing Mother in a session with a bunch of level ones. Good luck.
TPK.
It's not gonna work. TPK indeed. She's talking about, I'm just discovering all these amazing new powers. It's pretty impressive. Father doesn't seem to like it. And she's like, oh, well, Father's gotta be good at things that you're not good at, right? Like, well, it's pretty funny.
Pretty witty guy.
Have you heard his jokes yet? No, I've been stuck in the geodesic dome this whole time. You're not really letting me see anybody. I'll bring Father by. We'll do a tight five.
That's right.
These things come in fives.
Yeah.
So she's made a scalpel, and Tempest is like, "Hey, what's up with that?" She's like, "Don't worry, just go to sleep." Tempest wants Mother to go and help bring the baby to term via mobile lab, which was the way that Campion and Campion's siblings came to be. Mm-hmm. But Mother says, "Why? You've been given the greatest gift. You're a creator. All I'll ever be is a creation. I wish I could do the things that you could do." And Tempest is like, I still don't think you're being totally sensitive to my situation.
Yeah, pretty rude. But that's fine. Yeah. I mean, if they have the technology and she doesn't have to carry it to term, why not try? Other than that, it might not work because she's a human. But
that's also a possibility. Yeah. So she puts Tempest to sleep with the combination of telling her to go to sleep and then maybe keeping her asleep via the humming. She's still humming her favorite song.
Mm-hmm.
She's also she's then going to use the scalpel, and I had forgotten what she used the scalpel for, so I was
very nervous,
really on the edge of my seat rewatching this scene. It's just some foot stuff, you know.
Just a little tracker, right? This, she pulls out the little tracker.
I pull out the little tracker bead from the foot. As far as these things could go, it could be worse. She does this to all the kids. She puts them all to sleep. She takes them, she performs the same foot procedure.
And heals them right up.
Yeah, it heals them right up. Yeah.
Oh, heals. Nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
An alternate career path for Mother, perhaps as a podiatrist.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be? Foot surgeon.
Raised by podiatrists. Spinoff show coming to HBO Max.
I love that one.
Pretty soon. Uh-huh. Can't wait until we finally get to start watching season two and come to find out that podiatry is a very important plot point.
Yeah,
it's gonna be great. Feet are the new eyes on Raised by Wolves in season two.
If you have an eye thing, I think I have
I'll stop talking about it. I'm sorry, I didn't know.
No, it's fine.
I don't know. Well, then I really hope for your sake that season two.
I really hope it's not.
Stays with the eyes because I'm getting used to it. I'm getting really used to it. Okay, so she takes all of the trackers and drops them in a crevasse, Marcus and Sue note that the children have moved again. We gotta start making moves. They want to do this. And Sue wants to be the one who talks to Ambrose and the cleric and tries to make their case because Marcus is really losing the audience.
You get pretty mad, Mark. So
yeah,
I think I'll just take this one. Did I not see that like the trackers moved incredibly fast across the feels like it's like
maybe they weren't looking for a minute.
They weren't looking right away.
Or maybe they think that like there's like a lag.
True.
Could be. There's a little bit
They were in their feet, not their legs.
Oh, true. Yeah. 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 The feet are attached to the leg, though.
Yeah, that's right.
I hope their feet are still attached to their legs. We got to go and find out. The kids are in danger.
Come on.
Ambrose is saying, no, look at this cool thing we found in the desert. We got to stay here and figure this out. And if we, you know, if it's Sol's will to kill the kids, then so be it. I'm so sorry.
So brutal.
It's horrible.
This guy sucks. At least last time I was like, last time I was like, yeah, what else do you have to do? The kid, now there is like a big warm block.
Right.
You get to sleep next to, but gosh, this guy sucks. He's like, nah, if they die, they die.
Yeah. I want to blow up the hot block. Everyone's like, what? He's like, I want to blow it up.
Guy is a guy who got promoted like by accident, right? Like
one too
many promotions for this guy at work, and you're like,
yes.
God, Ambrose sucks, but
Ambrose says, I want to blow it up. We're gonna, because we see the android atop the thing and there's no discernible entrance, and so Ambrose says, we'll blow it up, get to it. And they say, no, that would be bad. We don't know what's inside of it. Could be dangerous, or it could be holy and great, and we don't want to blow that up either. So Ambrose says, fine, take tools to it, Captain Drusus. Get to work.
Definitely not alarming that even like 120 years from now, we're just showing up on planets being like, hey, you want to destroy all this stuff? You would just mess with it? It's like, oh, humanity, stop, please.
Grace, this episode is called Nature's Course, that's right?
That's true. Look at this artifact I found. I'm going to break it.
Like, I'll break it.
Please, stop.
Look at this incredible artifact. Let's launch into it.
Isn't this thing a thing of beauty that was given to us by a higher power?
I'm going to blow it up.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah, yeah. We're not so far from the primordial ooze still.
It's true. It's true.
Okay, so Campion and Father are going around looking for food.
We all thought this was poop, right? We all thought Father ate poop.
Yeah.
I thought they were in my head, I think I missed the like he doesn't eat meat. So I think I thought that they were tracking found like a little poop and he gave it to Father.
Pellet.
Father ate it and he's like, no, it's radioactive. And I realized it's like a nut or whatever. I definitely thought Father ate poop.
He takes a bite. He goes, deadly for humans. You don't want this. It's poop, Campion. He finds the nuts in the tree. Campion first throws a rock at it and hits Father square in the head.
Good recovery from Campion. His first throw is terrible. Second throw, spot on.
And good on Father for not freaking out. If that's me, I'd be like, ah! Sure.
What the hell?
You know?
Yeah.
Father, meanwhile, is basically, aim higher, Campion. You know, with little less force. And so he hits the nuts. The nuts fall out of the tree. And Father eats them and says, digestible, favorable composition, some caloric value. They'll need to do more analysis, but it looks promising.
It's great. They got food.
I think we got nuts. I think we found pizza, folks.
I thought that they called pizza.
Yeah, I think we found it. Got it.
What was the name of that thing you love? The name of the thing from back home?
Yeah, just to get there, Campion and Father are going to return back to the lander to like check for toxicity on the nuts. Yeah, and Campion says, what was the name of that food on Earth that everyone loved? Pizza. I love that name. Pizza. That's what we'll call it. Yeah. So, you know, I love that there's pizza canonically in Raised by Wolves.
It's great.
I don't love that so much to cancel out how much I hate the eye stuff, but
uh-huh.
I do love it. Sadly, Kepler 22 Pete's is toxic.
Yeah. Can you see Campion do a quick prayer?
I did.
Quick little prayer.
He sneaks in a quick little prayer and Father looks and he says, what is that? Nothing.
People wouldn't even know, but I've been secretly doing little prayers throughout this whole podcast.
I haven't questioned it. I have noticed.
You have noticed. Yeah.
I have noticed. Yeah. He's going to be doing a quick little prayer, but it's not enough to detoxify the pizza nuts,
which
is a shame.
Miracle.
Oh my God. But at that point, Grace, we really do have to get pretty livid with mother and father. How are you just discovering the nuts?
Yeah, I mean, cause they, like, they can't have gone that far, and then
they're
not.
They would. This is like a quarter of a day trip.
Yeah,
this was close by. It feels like
there's no edible food.
Like the Joshua trees.
They picked the worst place to land. You got to go close to the tropic zone.
Yeah,
it really mangoes, would be.
It really
pineapples.
Would be a Joshua tree if it grew pizza nuts. By the way,
that's true. That is true.
100%. All right, back at the camp of the Mithraic. Sue's about to get in some trouble here as she's doing. She's checking in on Ambrose's robot hand. He has a prosthetic because of a helicopter accident. And Ambrose says, to think that you left Earth without knowing medicine, and now here you are, the field's last remaining practitioner. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that funny?
Sus.
Isn't that something? And Sue says, yeah, it is.
Yep.
By the way, you sure it's cool that we just are going to go and let the kids die? And he says to her, listen, the sun is sunk. The shadowy night is raining in your room. We pray to Sol, his saving light, to guide us through the gloom. And she looks at him and triple blinks. She's like, I have no idea what you just said.
From the scriptures?
No.
Oh.
That's not correct. But he's like, yes, Sue, from the scriptures.
Yeah, it's from the scriptures.
Busted. And the problem is that he needs Sue alive because she is the final doctor on the board.
Yeah.
But he knows. Ambrose knows. He knows that this is not legit. He knows she is not true Mithraic.
It makes sense that this guy was trying to protect his android. So he has an android hand.
Yeah, one of us. Back at the wolf camp, mother is going to tell father that, you know what? Tempest doesn't want to do this. She wants the mobile lab to help carry the fetus to term, and I'm going to help her do that. She was impregnated against her will. We have 6 remaining synthetic womb sacs, as one does. And so we're going to use that.
You should always keep a few extra around.
Yeah. You don't want to leave without at least, I think, 3.
3.
Really, yeah. 5, right? 5's the number.
5.
Father says, I don't know why we're doing that. Her traumatic stress is treatable. It's like the old saying they used to have on Earth. Let nature run its course.
Episode title.
Yep. Yeah, it points at the screen.
Yeah. It was weird that father turned to the camera and looked right at it.
Yeah.
He said the episode title. Yeah.
Nature's course. Hi, father. Father's against this. He says, I don't, this is your call. You do what you want to do. I've also made a choice. I'm going to kill the creature. The children need meat. I'm going to do it. I don't want you to do it. I need to feel useful. I'm going to kill the thing. And she says, all right, just don't do it in front of Campion. You know that his sense of empathy is highly pronounced. And I'm like, scene. Wow. Yeah.
This
his
is
sense
all
of empathy is highly pronounced is definitely android code for don't do this in front of Campion. He's a wuss.
Yeah.
He's not going to be able to take it.
I don't know. It feels a little also my worst fear is that mother has a favorite.
Yeah.
Clearly likes Campion the most.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Don't do this in front of Campion.
Yeah.
And this is going to be enough for Father Beck. Oh, no. Now I'm actually not only going to do it in front of Campion. I'm going to make Campion do it.
Yeah. He's got to toughen up.
Thanks for the idea, mother. All right, we're going to toughen up over the course of this next commercial break. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will continue running Nature's Course. Stay tuned.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. We are back and it's nighttime with the Mithraic. It's very windy. And Marcus is having some trouble. It's like when your headphones start tweaking out.
Yeah.
While you're on a run or something,
the frequency is high.
Suddenly, like, if you're listening to the Raised by Wolves podcast and like my voice and Grace's voice, we just start like glitching out. That's what's happening to Marcus right now. But no one else can hear this, and he's freaking out. And Ambrose, his Emmett, is like, "Oh, look at him! He's an android, and he's freaking out. He's a ticker.
He's a ticker. Yeah,
yeah."
What the
heck?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't love that term, but that's what His Eminence calls him.
Well, there's two things I think is great. One is that it sounds like perhaps he is secretly an android. And the other thing is that perhaps he has been something has happened to him via the necromancer.
Right.
Has done something to him.
Yes. Like
that
woken
has caused
him
to do this. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And this is a very. This is a hallmark of Ridley Scott android fiction, is like the secret android that does not necessarily know it's an android, occasionally goes bad, breaks bad, as is the case with the first of the Ridley Scott androids in the Ridley Scott android pantheon. So I like that as a little bit of a callback to that. I feel like the influences, even though, he's not involved in every single component of the show at this point moving forward. I do feel like you can still see a lot of that. But it turns out it's just an earwig. Earwig, Grace.
Gross.
Yeah, so some sort of like tiny little machine that burrows into your ear and can influence you that way. Well, at least it's not an eye wig.
Or a foot wig.
Yeah, or a foot wig for either of us. Like, can we split the difference? Is this our Goldilocks option?
They had to wear foot wigs on The Hobbit, I think.
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. To walk around, look barefoot.
Looked at their
those were
feet.
Shoes, folks.
Yep.
Sorry to myth bust that one for you. He's been earwigged, and so they're getting into this big fight, as also like this android is clearly involved somehow. We find out that she had the transmitter for the earwig. And there's some question of, now did she actually do this of her own volition, or was this Ambrose? He's not going to live long enough for us to really find out, Grace, but with that being said, we know that the Mithraic use the androids very specifically in order to keep themselves clean.
Pure. Themselves pure. This feels like the android does it on behalf of Ambrose, but gosh, a pretty bad plan, isn't it?
Yes.
Even if he kills Marcus, aren't people going to pull the ear and be like, oh, somebody put an earwig in his ear?
I would think so.
Again, I feel like the Eminence here is... he's out of his league.
He would have been very thrilled to just like not have to like speak ever, the fact that he was like fifth in
or
line
walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have been great as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe he's got a foot phobia as well. I'm afraid of my feet touching anything.
That's
what
right.
could happen. Yeah. Marcus just eviscerates the android. Sue shoots it in the head first. That's kind of a to-do. She is able to sell it of, well, she was going to kill my husband.
Yeah, kill my husband.
Fair point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
No one really questions that Marcus then just shoots the android a ton of times.
Well, it can't be fixed.
No repairs necessary.
Yeah. Whereas we find out later, it's worth more that way.
I suppose. Okay, so Campion back at Camp Wolf is going to try and set the creature free.
Yeah.
Campion!
What? I don't know.
Campion!
I remember at the beginning of this, I feel like at the beginning I was very much with you. I'm like, yeah, I like Campion. It's fun. If the more it goes on, I'm like, I don't know about Campion. Nah,
I love him. I'm on Team Paul. Campion. I love Paul as well. I really love all the kids. I think they're all great. Vita definitely number one in the rankings, but I do think by and large.
100%. Yeah.
I think it's a scale from Vita to Hunter.
Yeah, Hunter's a genius, like. But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rank 205 as well.
I think highly of Hunter. I'm not as smart as Hunter.
No. I'm not as smart as Hunter is. That's a pretty smart guy. So father's like, okay, by the way, you're not going to free the creature and you're going to be the one who kills it. This is a part of growing up, Campion. Campion says, then I want to remain a child.
One of the most famous stories, this is very funny, I think, in retrospect, that I have, I do many a podcast these days, is when I was in grade 3 and grade 4, you have to do public speeches in Canada, you do public speaking. And when I was at the end
as
of grade
3. As a
fourth
grader?
Yeah, you start in fourth grade, you do them all the way throughout your whole elementary school. You have to do it in front of your class. If you win, you go to the gymnasium, do it in front of the whole school, whatever. And I was so shy as a child, I just told my mom, I'll just stay in grade 3 forever. I don't need to go to grade 4 and do a public speech. I think I'll just stay in grade 3. So I still have not graduated grade 3, but it's going
well. So when you have those recurring nightmares, like, oh man, I didn't know I was in art class all semester and I failed it and now I can't graduate, except yours is real.
Yes.
But also the flip side of that is you don't have nightmares because you sleep through the night.
That's true. I very sleep very deeply. No dreams. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
No nightmares.
So the question is, like, I haven't gone further than grade 3, but I have no nightmares and I sleep like a peach. Or I am sleepless forever, but I moved past third grade.
Yeah.
I think you won the lottery, my friend.
I did.
I think you got it. I think you got it. I love this from Campion. Then I wish to remain a child forever. You and me both. Big mood. Big mood, Campion. Campion is going to run and tell mom.
Dad wants me to kill an evil
creature.
Dad
wants me to kill a creature and wants all the kids. When I sit there, I say, oh, well, then all the other kids will kill it.
Mom.
and mom actually doesn't love it.
She doesn't.
She comes out and watches father with all of the kids surrounding the silo. Father says, listen, hear me when I tell you that we could break down unexpectedly at any time, and then the kids are on their own. We cannot spare them from this. And if you don't want to see it, don't you have something you could do for a few hours and just be away from this? I did see, this pod in the forest that might have some interesting parts for the mobile lab. So I guess I'll go and do that. And Cammy goes, Mom,
this is very relatable. Mother's just going to leave and go catch up on her pods. It's very relatable. Just go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Get some pods.
I'm behind on my pods.
Catch up.
Yeah, they're doing too many week daily podcasts. How am I supposed to keep up?
Go for a little walk in the forest.
So she goes for a walk. So she flies off to go do her forest stuff. And Campion says, Father, don't do this. You're good, Father. Goodness won't fill your stomach, Campion. And Hunter's like, all right, well, I am really hungry. With that being said, I can't kill the creature. It would be impure.
Yeah, it would be impure.
But one of these military kids could do it. And they're like, shut up, Hunter.
Hunter sucks.
Holly is like, now here's the thing. None of them have been talking about me on the podcast. Yeah. So I need to do something.
A steel scene here. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Holly is like, I'll grab the spear so that they got to talk about me on the show. I don't know that they've said my name for a couple.
We have absolutely not, since they all came back, not said the name Holly once.
Yeah. Shout out to my friend who just gave birth to a baby daughter named Holly on this very same day that we're talking about Holly.
That's great.
Isn't that good? You know, coincidence, fate? I don't know. Mm-hmm. This Holly, the Raised by Wolves Holly, is like, they'll remember me as the creature slayer.
Yeah.
And then she steps up and stabs the creature. Like, I don't know. Sounds bad. And then she's like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I'd rather slip back into anonymity, please.
When Father's just like, we got to do it before there's more meat on the bones than later. Gosh.
My God.
This is brutal.
So she stabs it and it drops the spear and dips and they all run. She's like, ah, gross. It's bleeding. Gross. The Father calls after them like, what are you doing?
I love
slaughtered
Father
animals
bonding.
On Earth for thousands of years.
I love Father bonding with the creature here.
Yeah.
In some ways.
Father tells the creature, well, at least you're not intelligent. I died once. Death can be very unpleasant when you're intelligent.
Oh, no. Bad news.
Yeah. I can imagine that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Mother goes into the forest, finds the vessel, and decides that now would be a great time for a nap.
Go to sleep, Mother.
Look, sometimes the paws make you sleepy, too.
That's true.
That's never happened to you. You're going for a walk.
Yeah.
You're listening to a Wiggler and Grace special, and you're like, I got to tell you, I could use a nap.
I could put this on before bed.
No offense taken.
5 minutes later.
Whatever's working for you, you know? Yeah. You know, you don't have to pay that close attention. I get it. So she's like, all right, get off this. And she yanks the body off the bed. Uh-huh. Just tosses it. And she lies down in it. And I assume that this is because she, you know, wants to gather more data about what may have happened on the Ark. But she gets this warning from the system that the sim is not intended for Android interface. And so when she goes in, it starts kind of glitching out and she has this surreal experience. Grace, it would have been hilarious if the Sims voices then started coming.
Blah, blah, doo, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah. Habitable. Yeah.
Blah, 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 glue.
Yeah. It's a priest talking about soul. We will pray. We will worship. We will atone for the sins we committed on Earth. When we reach the promised land, soul will reward us. But she's barely on the Ark when she starts having this vision that I certainly read as flashback. Do you read this any other way, Grace?
No, I read this as flashback. This is this feels like Campion did this. She's reliving something. Yeah.
So she, you know, we've heard about how there were 12 embryos and generation one was 6 kids. And what happened to the other 6 embryos? Why did they not ever just go ahead and give that a shot? Well, turns out that that Campion and his siblings accidentally killed the embryos.
I often say we've podcasted on a lot of shows where I feel like much of my comments are like, this is brutal. I literally just said this is brutal. This is sad, sad stuff. Imagine like, you know, Campion is very young and hopefully he's like young enough at that age when he did it that he just like won't remember this for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
But to like be a little human who then has to like remember that you killed your six of your siblings. Not great. Not good.
Not great. Really, really tough. And the thing is, I feel like, you know, Campion is so young at this point that they have a different actor playing Campion.
Yeah.
And Campion proper is already pretty young. So it is a, you know, a signal that he's very young when this happens. But he has enough emotional intelligence at this age, Grace, to say, don't tell Gabin and Spiria what they were. So he knows what's happened and he knows enough to know that his siblings will feel horrible if they come to find out what the snowballs were, which is what they say to Mother. They say, I'm sorry, we melted the snowballs.
brutal.
Yeah, so it wasn't Campion, at least alone, who killed the embryos. It was his siblings as well, if not just his siblings. Mother is, you know, horrified and really upset, obviously. And she wonders why Campion lied to his siblings about that. And he says they didn't need to know. Would have just made them sad. And he asks, why do things have to die? And she says, well, it's nature. And nature is flawed. And they toss the ashes of the six embryos into the wormhole. And that is the vision that that mother undergoes. Really, some very dark backstory here as to why there is not a generation two.
Yeah, it's super. It's just like, I think the whole thing here, I think it's interesting that it's like Campion, who doesn't sort of commit this act on his own, but is certainly the one who like recognizes what has happened, is the only one to sort of, as far as we know, have that sense, which is plays into like, you know, Campion is the only one out of this, you know, out of the 12 things, the embryos that they brought, to survive and live. And there's something about Campion that is unique amongst any of them.
Right.
So yeah, I think this is like, it's really tough. It's really sad. It's really dark. It's also really compelling stuff.
Yeah.
To me anyway.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think that this is, you know, kind of a big emotional hook kind of moment, where it matters to everybody. It obviously matters a lot to Campion, who is, you know, the lone survivor of now both of these generations, and certainly to mother and father as well, whose sole purpose for being, as far as they know at least, and we know at least, is to reboot humanity. This was a horrible, horrible trauma, and I think one could argue reflective of, you know, whether it's reflective of the imperfection of the androids who couldn't, you know, that you had one job and they couldn't protect the embryos. Is it a reflection, you know, a poor reflection on them? Or is it also just, you know, sort of in the same way we were joking before about, oh, there's an artifact that's beautiful, let's blow it up. Uh-huh. And like, is it nature's course? I believe John Connor asks the Terminator in T2. Why we kill each other, why we hurt each other. And the Terminator says, it's in your nature to destroy yourselves. And is that a piece of this? Is that something that's being explored?
My robot is trying to destroy me.
Yeah. You know, they're all rebelling at all points in time, Grace.
Yeah. No, I think it's really good. I think, you know, that whole thing of her, like the reason she gives to her son, right? It's like, that's nature. But it's also Kim and his siblings who did this, you know, like who make this like unconscious choice, you know, because unconscious maybe is the wrong word. They don't know what they're doing, as far as we know. And yet they do cause that to happen, as much less nature than, like, you know, I think in some way, like when you see it's like, you know, a being, you know, a prey eating a, you know, something smaller on the food chain, or like, you know, something like that. This is like humanity, nature that caused the death of these six embryos. It's like, yeah, it's like super compelling stuff.
Meanwhile, with the Mithraic, Marcus opens up this android for parts, right? Gets some batteries out of it. She's worth more now than she was when she was alive. And Lucius, like, where'd you learn this?
Do you think that the batteries like come with, it's always annoying when you get like, when you got something.
No, batteries not included.
Batteries not included.
Nope. Yeah. No, that's, you got to buy the batteries separately. And so it's really annoying when you bring the android home and unwrap the android. You're like, all right. And
let's get then, it. Let's play. And then it doesn't
work. No, you got to go out to the corner store.
And then you like try. So you sometimes it's just like a click, but you sometimes you have to get a little screwdriver to unscrew.
Yeah.
And put the batteries in. It's the worst.
And it's one of those weird, chonky, like box shaped batteries. Yeah. Not every store has that.
No, for sure.
It's not your Coca-Cola classic AAA, you know?
No.
Lucius, Sue is going to ask Lucius about, hey, did you hear this line before? And he goes, yeah, I'm Mithraic. I was a kid. I know it because it's a lullaby. Everyone knows it. And Sue goes, yeah, I know. Yeah.
I just wanted to be comforted.
I just wanted to be comforted with you saying the words. You didn't do such a great job. And Lucius is like, okay, sorry. And so Sue then says, So, hey, Marcus, Ambrose knows I don't know the lullaby, which means he knows that we are not on the level.
Yeah, we're totally screwed.
We're toast. We're toast. And Marcus says, no, I'm toast. He tried to kill me, and he can't kill you.
We'll see who's toast.
Yeah. He can't. Yeah, that's right. Oh, well, that's a good idea, Sue.
That's great.
Got a great idea now.
Yeah.
And Marcus just wants to kill him and make it look like an accident. Sue says, no, there's too many eyes on us. I agree.
Well, it could be worse. There could be mother's eyes on you.
Yeah.
It would also be toast.
Oh, God. Yeah. So Marcus wants to weaponize. So he wants to sneak off. Just the two of us. We'll go and save the kids. And she's on board with it, even though, you know, their odds would be better with more people on their side. But they are, you know, desperate times and all that. Later that night, the artifact is giving off no heat all of a sudden. And everyone is bitterly, bitterly cold. And Amber's like, I'm telling you, it's time to blow this thing up.
You replace the batteries on this thing?
It's one of the chonky box batteries. We didn't have any of those from the Ark. So he's like, all right, we're going to blow it up. And if none of you idiots are going to do it, then I'll do it. Step aside. I don't care what's in there. Saul's going to forgive us. He doesn't want us to freeze to death. We're the last ones. He doesn't want us to freeze to death. Saul wants us to live. Marcus starts hearing things. And I think very instructively, you know, the earwig is out of his ear, unless there was a second earwig. Yeah. Or I guess a possible interpretation, Grace, is are there lingering effects of an earwig? I think could be something that we could be looking at here.
Mm-hmm.
But Marcus hears something. He's going to say, I heard a voice. And we don't know what it is that he's heard. Maybe it's Tally's pottery song that he's hearing.
My hands are full.
Yeah, very heavy and I'm hot. It's very heavy and I'm hot. That's the artifact.
That's true. Is it made out of clay?
Yeah. Maybe it was a grand pottery project. But he's hearing some kind of a voice. And so the voice kind of compels him to stand against Ambrose. Our leader has lost his faith. We're being tested. We must not falter. Ambrose is mad. He tells him, I know you're not the real Marcus Drusus. And Mark says, well, I know you're not the real person who's alive anymore. And then he shoves him into the artifact and holds him against it. And he catches fire.
Yep.
He burns alive, spontaneously combusts, Grace.
Yeah, this is a wild one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he throws him against the thing on fire, and he bursts into fire. And Marcus says, "He abandoned us. He abandoned our children. This is Sol's answer. This is Sol's judgment. It's Sol's will." And I think it speaks volumes about His Eminence's popularity within the group.
Yeah,
and everyone is like, "F it, it's warm again," and they just huddle around the warmth of the artifact.
Yep.
And Marcus is going to tell Sue, "I heard a voice."
There's a voice. I don't know what is going on here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand it. It's not warm, and then the Eminence touches it, and then he's on fire. It's wild. Wild
big
stuff.
Questions, many of them, that are worth asking at this point in time of, like, what is Marcus's connection to the artifact? What are the whispers he is hearing? And
this is the most I had felt when we were saying earlier, like, who's on the board as the prophecy?
The prophet, yeah.
Like, who's the prophet? And we're like, yeah, it's probably Paul or Campion. And then this happens. And you're like, oh, okay, actually, it definitely could just be
strange visions, audio visions, right? Like, I mean, I think that this is compelling. It's a compelling argument, and we'll see. I mean, I think that this moment with Marcus is very clearly a big deal, and shall continue to be explored as we move forward through season one of Raised by Wolves. Okay, so back at the camp, Father goes to the creature effectively to do it himself when he hears/sees yet another vision of Tally. Two episodes in a row now, Grace, where we're getting Tally vision. Here on Raised by Wolves. Yeah,
it's all full show recaps. You cover
too much Tally vision. We're trying to cover it all.
Yeah,
It's hard. It's very heavy and it's hard.
Your hands are very full.
Very full. Uh-huh. We're doing lots of pottery.
The pottery cast is coming. P-O-T-T. Oh, isn't YA? YA is coming.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Go to the Potion Recaps patron feed to listen to our new Harry Potter podcast. We're doing lots of Harry Pottery. Patreon.com/PotionRecaps.
I didn't know. This is a prophecy. I didn't realize.
Grace, stay away from any alien objects right now. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness.
That's incredible.
It is pretty good. Tempest grabs the scalpel.
Don't want that.
She goes and she's going to go and take care of the creature herself while Hunter and Campion and everybody else are kind of arguing about the food. Hunter's going to tell Campion, like, just eat. Don't stop being the martyr. Just eat. You can eat the stuff and you're not going to get poisoned. Just do it. It's so annoying. It's like kind of that thing of like everybody got their meal or like one person got their meal. No one else got it yet. Yes. And the one person, it's now been 10 minutes,
and the one person's cold, like,
"I'm not gonna eat it." And everybody at the table's like, "Eat your food! Eat your food! Please. It's no longer polite. It's not good. Eat it! You're making me actively mad that you're not eating the food."
Why does that happen? Because when you're in the other situation, you're always like, "Yeah, just eat your food." And then when you get your food, you're always like, "Oh gosh, I gotta wait."
No, eat it. Just eat the food. It's not your fault.
It's not.
It's not your fault that we can't eat the toxic carbos.
Well, Tempest doesn't wait.
She doesn't. She goes and kills the creature with the scalpel, which is intimate, right?
Yeah. It's a tiny little weapon that mother made. Yeah.
Intimate way to kill the creature. And there's screams that ring throughout the night. And Father is within earshot. And when he returns, he sees Tempest, who has been consuming the creature raw. Just wild, like, just set it on fire, you know. Cook the thing.
No, there's no obelisk around,
I guess. Mm-hmm. Also, maybe she just loves sashimi and misses it. What was the name of that food that everyone on earth like? Sashimi.
I call the nuts sashimi.
I love sashimi. Hard pivot from laughing about that to Tempest is holding a fetus that the creature was pregnant. She had a baby inside. It was a mother. It was a mother, which is obviously very upsetting, very troubling, would be in any context, is probably additionally upsetting for Tempest, who herself is currently pregnant. And she just killed this creature. So a really dark ending for episode 4 of Raised by Wolves, Grace.
So sad. It's so sad. I don't like it. I don't like the Tempest killed it and then found out it was pregnant. I don't like it.
It's hardcore.
But lots of themes here, you know, motherhood, parenthood, raising children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sad.
I think a lot of like what you'll do to protect yourself, what you'll do to protect your young, as you know, there are some instincts here, I'm sure, for Tempest as well. And that can sometimes involve hurting others. In fact, even, you know, other mothers, other children, you know, what will you do to, you know, protect your tribe, as it were, I think is very much in play in the ending of this episode. And, you know, launches us into some dark territory. Not that we weren't already there, but I think, you know, sort of doubly so as we are moving into episode 5, which is called Infected Memory, Grace. Infected Memory is where we are going for episode 5 of Raised by Wolves.
That'll be
day
fun.
5 of the week daily Raised by Wolves podcast, the final podcast of week 1 of the week daily Raised by Wolves pods here on Post Show Recaps. We hope you are having as much fun as we are having. We are having a blast going through it. If you have already crushed season 1, Grace, this is one of the things that I'm seeing. People like, oh, nice, there's going to be Post Show Recaps coverage of it. I'll just watch alongside it. And then other people are like, I'm now going to binge the whole show.
I've done season 1, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw a lot
that's
of that already.
That's great. No, that's it's exciting, awesome. Right? We love that. We want, you know, we very much want people to discover this show that you and I really, really, really enjoy. enjoy. Come and enjoy the podcast at whatever pace works for you. But if you're already deep into season two, we hope that you're enjoying that as well. If you've got feedback for any of these podcasts or more, you can send it in. Josh@postshowrecaps.com goes directly to me. If it's from season two, please just mark it clearly in the subject line that it's a season two spoiler. I am going to be a good boy here and not watch season two until we are through doing the season one recaps. So please keep that from me. Grace, I believe you are going to be doing the same. So do not at high from Grace with season two Raised by Wolves spoilers, but talk to us about where we are at the podcast right now. At High from Grace, at Round Howard, hang out with us in the Post Show Recaps Patreon Discord. Still very early in the month. Would love to see you in there. Patreon.com/Post Show Recaps. Make antics such as these possible. Grace, what else do you have going on? It's all the same stuff that it's been all week.
All the same stuff. I do have something new. We released a new episode of Hold Up this week.
Ooh, nice. Awesome.
The first podcast I ventured out on my own. My co-host is Hudson, who I know from the Rob is a podcast community. We talked about the 1993 film Philadelphia. So that's the first episode back in our new season of Hold Up. So we look back at LGBTQ media. Let's see if it holds up is the idea. So check that out.
I was going to ask, does Philadelphia hold up? But I feel like don't spoil your podcast.
I often spoil the. It's
all right. Well, I'm not going to be the one who asks you to spoil your podcast. Okay. It's all your choice if you want to do that. But check that out. Check out Hold Up. Check out all of the amazing things that Grace has going on. Check out all of the fun things we've got going on here on Post Show Recaps. Make sure you do not miss an episode of any of the HBO podcasts that we do. PostShowRecaps.com/HBO pod, whether it's Euphoria that Grace is covering with Amon, Raised by Wolves here, Jess Sterling and Sarah Ferguson covering The Gilded Age, and so much more. You'll never miss an HBO show that we are covering if you subscribe to PostShowRecaps.com/HBO pod. Of course, we have our Raised by Wolves podcast feed as well, PostShowRecaps.com/wolves. So subscribe there as well. Leave some ratings and reviews. Greatly appreciated by everybody on the team. All right. Tomorrow, Infected Memory, episode 5 of season 1, coming next on the Raised by Wolves podcast. Until then, everybody, oh!
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.